Welcome to episode 339 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most beloved and most important chapters in all of scriptures. It is the famous love chapter, but it really begins in the last verse of chapter 12. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. God desires that we should pursue a more excellent way, and with this introduction, Paul launches into 1 Corinthians 13. The love of which the apostle speaks in this chapter is selfless love. This is agape love. It is a love that loves without changing. It is a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It is love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or unappealing. It is a love that loves even when it is rejected. Agape love gives and loves because it wants to. It does not demand or expect repayment from the love given. It gives because it loves. It does not love in order to receive. It is a sacrificial, absorbing kind of love. The word has little to do with emotion. It has much to do with self-denial for the sake of another. Today we're going to do a verse-by-verse review of this famous love chapter. Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, selfless love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The Corinthians were enamored with spiritual gifts, particularly the gift of tongues. Paul reminds them even the gift of tongues is meaningless without love. Without love, a person may speak with the gift of tongues, but it is as meaningless as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It is nothing but empty noise. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, real love, I am nothing. Prophecy, knowledge, and faith to do miracles are likewise irrelevant apart from love. The Corinthian Christians missed the motive and the goal of spiritual gifts, making them their own goal. Paul draws the attention back to love. Verse 3. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, sacrificial love, I gain nothing. Giving away all one's possessions, this is what Jesus told the rich young ruler to do in Matthew 19, and he refused. But even if the rich young ruler had done what Jesus said, yet had not love, it would have been of no profit. In verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul makes the case for the preeminence of love. Love is greater than all spiritual gifts, because without love, gifts are empty. Verses 4 to 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Selfless love is first and foremost patient. The Greek word for patient comes from two words meaning long-tempered. If you're patient, you're slow to anger. You endure personal wrongs without retaliating. You bear with others' imperfections, faults, and differences. You give them time to change, room to make mistakes without coming down hard on them. Selfless love is kind. Kindness is patience in action. A kind person is disposed to be helpful. He seeks out needs and looks for opportunities to meet those needs without repayment. She is tender and forgiving when wronged. This kind person shows kindness in response to harsh treatment. Jesus said in Luke 6 verses 33 and 35, "If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." Paul tells us that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Kindness motivates others toward positive change. Selfless love does not envy. It is not jealous. The word means to eagerly desire, and it is used both positively and negatively in the Bible. Jealousy, in the negative sense, is related to greed and selfishness. The jealous person wants what others have. He wants things for himself. He is too selfish to applaud others' successes. He has to have all the attention. Selfless love does not boast, and it is not arrogant. These both stem from selfishness and are the flip side of jealousy. John MacArthur says, "Jealousy is wanting what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what we have. Jealousy puts others down. Bragging builds us up." Selfless love is not rude. It does not needlessly offend. Love has good manners. It is courteous, polite, sensitive to the feelings of others, and always uses tact. The reason we are not courteous, of course, is that we're thinking only of ourselves and not of others. It is not selfish, does not demand its rights, it is not touchy, it does not keep score. To rejoice in the truth means to be glad about behavior in accordance with the truth of God's word. If someone you don't like falls into sin, you don't gloat, you grieve, because God is grieved over sin. If they repent, you rejoice. Four more things love is: strong, believing, hopeful, and enduring. Charles Spurgeon calls these four virtues love's four sweet companions. All things covers everything. We can all bear some things. We can all believe some things. We can all hope some things. And we can all endure some things. But God calls us farther and deeper into love for him, for one another, and for a perishing world. We could replace the word love or charity, as it is used in some translations, with the name Jesus, and the description would make perfect sense. We could easily say, Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy, and make it through the whole chapter. We can measure our spiritual maturity by seeing how it sounds when we put our name in place of the word love. Does it sound totally ridiculous or just a little far-fetched? In verses 4 to 7, Paul shows us the practice of love, how love is greater than all spiritual gifts because of its selfless characteristics. Verses 8 to 12, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are appropriate for the present time, but they are not permanent. They are imperfect gifts for an imperfect time. Childish things are appropriate for children, and the gifts are appropriate for our present time, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit will not be appropriate forever. When we can fully see Jesus, not as in a poorly reflected image, the need for the gifts will have vanished, and so the gifts will pass away. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will be overshadowed by the immediate presence of Jesus. When the sun rises, we turn off the lesser lights. But when all of these things have fulfilled their purpose / outlived their usefulness, love will remain. In verses 8 to 12, Paul shows the permanence of love, that love is greater than all spiritual gifts because it outlasts them. Verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love, a more excellent way. Father, help us to love as you love. Help us to love as you would have us love. In so doing, may our lives be in an ongoing pursuit of a more excellent way. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.